Thanks for joining Impact Boom. On this episode...
For our travellers, it's creating opportunities that many of them would never thought they'd be able to do, but really wanted to. It's bringing like-minded people together where many previously never even had a real friend or where they've been bullied for many years. And it's an opportunity to do things with our family and to create real confidence and independence in life.
Welcome to ImpactBoom.org. We search the globe to find the people, stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you create maximum positive impact. Each week, Impact Boom brings you thought-provoking interviews with world-leading practitioners passionate about creating positive social change. These designers, social entrepreneurs, educators, innovators, thinkers, and doers share their projects, initiatives, thoughts, and insights on creating a better world. You can find all the stories, links, and other great content at impactboom.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter for the latest updates, or subscribe to the newsletter or on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to episode 472 of Impact Boom. My name's Indio Miles, and I'm passionate about communicating the initiatives and enterprises causing sustainable and positive change globally. Today, we're speaking with Agnes Abelson. Agnes Abelson is founder of Travengers Australia, Australia's leading autism travel company. Travengers creates inclusive travel experiences for young neurodivergent adults and has so far organized over 500 social events in person and online, and over 60 trips in Australia and overseas. Agnes has been featured on ABC, received funding from Untours Foundation and Expedia, and has been recognized as a global changemaker in accessible tourism by global magazine Condé Nast Traveler. Drawing from her background as a disability nurse and inspired by her autistic sister, Agnes established Travengers to empower young adults with a hidden disability through social travel, much like Contiki, with support. Originally a disability nurse, Agnes moved from Norway to Australia, and with 13 years of experience in the disability sector, as well as personal experience, she is now an award-winning entrepreneur with a passion for acceptance and social inclusion for neurodivergent people. On today's podcast, we'll be discussing the importance of meaningful inclusion, accessibility, and how these lead to equitable outcomes for neurodiverse people, and why purpose-led businesses should design their solutions to shift cultural norms and inspire society to be more accepting. Agnes, it's such a pleasure to have you here on the Impact Boom podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you, Andrew.
Excellent. So to start off, could you please just share a bit about your background and then what led to your work in social enterprise?
Yeah, look, the journey starts from when I was younger. I grew up on an island in the north of Norway with a godfather with Down syndrome. And I ended up studying disability nursing. And when I was studying, my younger sister got diagnosed with autism. And, you know, she's the best. She's funny, she's clever, talented. But she had always been misunderstood and struggled socially and at school. She was bullied even by teachers. And, yeah, so I became really passionate about supporting young people like her with a hidden disability. And over the years, I worked with other young people like her, young people who were lonely, fighting between the cracks between mainstream and other disability groups who couldn't really find anywhere to belong. And then, yeah, 6 years ago, I moved to Australia by myself to work in disability for a while. And, yeah, when I came here, I recognized the same issues here as there was in Norway, the same lack of support, lack of groups. And I was working with a young man who wanted to have friends and to travel. So he asked me if we could go together. I started looking around and see if I could find something for him. But, none of the existing groups were a fit for him. He was basically paying me as a support worker at the time to be his friend. And that concept just doesn't really sit well with me. And, I got frustrated that there weren't any options available. And I thought of it for a while, and then I realized that I couldn't complain that something didn't exist if I wasn't willing to do anything about it myself. But yeah, I didn't know anything about business, social enterprise, or didn't have any parents or family or friends who was in business. So yeah, I was pretty scared, to be honest. But yeah, I understood that I had to do a lot of work both on myself and explore how to set up a company. But I made a commitment to make a change, and yeah, so started the journey.
Yeah, wow. And I mean, all of that has really led up to the founding and you becoming the founder and CEO of Travengers Australia. And as you said, taking the big leap forward to do something about this issue and create something. So can you share a bit more about this organization and its purpose, activities, and the impact that it's creating?
Yeah, sure. So we organise social groups and group travel for young autistic adults around Australia. So we have weekly social events in Sydney and Melbourne, as well as a virtual travel group online. And at the social events, we do anything like game rooms or hikes, arts and crafts, karaoke. And then we also organise Contiki-like tours around Australia and overseas, but more catered towards our group members and their wants and needs. So, yeah, we've been to Japan, Kangaroo Island, Perth, even London, and we were recently in Japan. Yeah, but Travengers is so much more than just travel. So for our travellers, it's creating opportunities that many of them would never thought they'd be able to do but really wanted to. It's bringing like-minded people together where many previously never even had a real friend or where they've been bullied for many years. And it's an opportunity to do things with our family and to create real confidence and independence in life. We hope to be a stepping stone for our travellers, yeah, so that they eventually don't need us anymore. They, you know, have their own friends, they're travelling independently and all that stuff. And as well as that, it has a huge impact on mental health as well, because you see people who's never had these things and might struggle with anxiety or depression, and then they come to us and then belong somewhere. That's what we really love about what we do. Yeah, and on the way we meet lots of people and our travellers in different industries and especially tourism. So since starting it, I wanted to have a ripple effect of awareness and understanding of people with hidden disability and those who are autistic or neurodivergent.
There's a collection of really beautiful impacts there that it creates for these people who are joining you on the tours and for people in the neurodiverse community. So it's quite amazing to see how those impacts and the long-term effects that those can have, right? And I think through your work and all of your collective experience, whether it's personal or professional, you've worked quite a lot with this community. So I was just wondering if you could share with our audience, what common misconceptions around neurodivergency have you encountered? And how can people or organizations even be more inclusive of this community in their activities?
Yeah, there's lots, a lot of misconceptions. Yeah. One thing that's, would say, new at the moment is that everyone seems to think that, yeah, neurodivergent people never existed and suddenly there's a boom in diagnosis and everyone's autistic or ADHD these days. But there's always been neurodivergent people, but there's been lack of information and people haven't been diagnosed. People have been struggling, behind the scenes without people knowing why they're struggling or even themselves knowing. For example, girls weren't even included in the diagnosis criteria at the beginning. So autistic girls have been masking for years and now people are actually getting diagnosed and it seems like this suddenly everyone's neurodivergent, but it makes sense, right? other than that, people think that everyone who's autistic or neurodivergent are either just high functioning or low functioning, and that's it. But there's so many nuances and variations in between. Yeah, it's not linear. I don't know how to say that word, actually. It's more, yeah, it's a spectrum. So one person might be with one thing one day, but they're okay the next day. So, yeah, it can also shift a lot. Another thing is the standards. People think autistic people are not able to work, or they can only work in tech, or they only like routine, that autistic people are grown children, or that they don't have empathy. That's, yeah, autistic people are some of the most empathetic people I know. So, it's, yeah, it's a lot of misinformation out there. Yeah, in terms of organizations can be more inclusive. It sounds simple, but that's because it is, but they can try to learn. There's so much information out there that's quite easy to learn about neurodivergency. There's heaps of YouTube videos, advocacy on LinkedIn and Instagram. All you need to do is go and search for the tag, watch a few videos, not just a few. There's obviously a lot, but there's a lot of very easily accessible information, and organizations can sign up to inclusive practice webinars, search for simple resources about neurodiversity at work. There's lots out there. And generally, practices can be helpful for anybody in an organization, not just those who are neurodivergent. So that can be anything from having a little bit flexible work hours, or being able to work from home, where you can control your own space, your own sensitivities. Generally, just giving an opportunity for people to express their needs without them needing to ask for it. That's another thing. It can be in the onboarding process, or, yeah, there's plenty of things that you can do. Yeah, and again, it benefits neurotypical people too, so, yeah, why not?
Yeah, an absolute range of complexities that you've identified there, but also a lot of action that can be taken too on behalf of organizations or individuals trying to create their own awareness or increase how they can help. So thank you for all of those recommendations there. And I want to get us both to maybe take a step back for a second from like kind of that enterprise level and having a look at the Business for Good movement as a whole. Where do you see opportunities to grow awareness around this movement in Australia?
Yeah, I love the Business for Good movement. I think it's so important. Having a company, or even, yeah, being employed at a company as well, you have there's a sense of responsibility. And if you have the power to make a positive impact, then why wouldn't you? But in regards to having more impact or growing the awareness, I think that somehow infiltrating the mainstream organizations is the way to go. I think social impact organizations have a tendency to gather to just with themselves. And yeah, I find it's a little bit like preaching to the choir. It's amazing that being able to back each other and support each other, obviously. But in order for us to have impact in the wider world of business, then I think it's important that we also speak to businesses that aren't social enterprises, and maybe those who aren't currently doing that much. So I'm currently part of a large mainstream business group, and although it's not just for impact organizations, there's a lot of focus on the bigger impact and commitment we want to have in the world. I think having people who are social enterprise leaders in those groups, that automatically has an impact on the others. Okay, what are you doing? You know, and inspiring to also do good, and just to look for ways that they can have impacts as well, even though they're not a social enterprise.
Great observation there. And as you said, you're already taking the first steps as well to do that yourself. So it's all about encouraging the rest of the movement to come along on that journey with you. Great insight there for our audience to have a think about. And now, speaking of our audience and all of those individuals or entrepreneurs out there who are in a position like you were a few years ago, right, and wanting to make a change or create an impact, right, what advice would you give them to make a difference by beginning their impact journey?
For me, I think the most important thing in the beginning was to get really clear on my why this is so important and connect it to some real outcomes. So what's going to happen if I don't do this? And what's going to happen if I do this? And I knew that that would really help me drive forward, even when it would be hard or if my motivation wasn't going to be there some days. Having that why in front, in the, at the forefront of what I do, has really helped me push through the hard times and hard days. Another thing is getting out there, network, start sharing what you're passionate about and what you're working on. Find people who get what you're trying to do and who wants to help. I was really proactive in the beginning. I was, you know, really scared to go out and share this stuff. Obviously, my background was in disability nursing, so I'd never done an elevator pitch to someone or all that stuff. So it was a practice, but I was able to find some amazing people early on who wanted to help, and some of them are now on my advisory board and have been with me for 4 years, and they were helping me connect with other people, and yeah, it was really valuable, and people are so supportive. I was so grateful, and I still am, for all the support that I had on this way. And finally, learning. So for myself, I started off doing a business course and an accelerator program as well. I did both a combination of free and paid learning, but it was an investment, but so well. Otherwise, it would have taken me probably years to understand it all. I got coaching early on as well, both personal and professional development. And I didn't have heaps of money, and I bootstrapped the business. But if I hadn't done that, yeah, I probably wouldn't have been where I am today. So, yeah, I think definitely it's worth investing in learning early on, or from early on, and continuous learning.
Yeah, really great advice there for anyone looking to start their own business, right, in general, but also then more specifically to work towards making a difference like you have with all of your work in the past and with Trevenders. So thank you so much for sharing that with our audience. And we're actually now, Agnes, moving into the end of our interviews. So I've just got two more questions to quickly fire your way. So firstly, are there any projects or businesses or initiatives that you've come across creating a positive social change recently?
Recently, well, one of my favorites are the Hidden Disability Sunflower. It's not new, but it's one of my favorites. Basically, a lanyard with sunflowers on it that signals to people that you have a hidden disability. So the program is educating organizations, including airports, airlines, museums, shopping centers, etc., to gain an understanding of hidden disability and how they can support when someone's wearing it. It's created a community of people who proudly wear the sunflower. So it's become like this movement, I feel, or been part of the movement. And it's been really helpful for our travelers. I also love Yellow Ladybugs. That's another autistic-led social enterprise for young women and girls, and then this Keely's course. Everything's for the autistic community. But yeah, also social enterprises.
Really a few great projects there. And for our listeners, all of those will be linked in at the end of the article so they can check out all of their work and learn a bit more as well. So thank you for sharing those, Agnes. And to finish off, books and resources, is there anything that you would recommend to our listeners, whether that's a podcast or some sort of document or a book that has helped you?
Yeah, so if you want to learn more about neurodivergence, I recommend Unmasked by Ellie Middleton or Different Not Less by Chloe Hayden. In terms of personal development, well, I did an NLP course quite early on that really helped me accelerate my personal development and become a bit more fearless on this journey. At the moment, I'm also learning about meditation practices by Dr. Joe Dispenza, so that's interesting, and Seven Spirits of Success by Deepak Chopra.
Wow. I mean, few really interesting picks there as well. Anything ranging in personal development to also that neurodiversity space is, I think, fantastic for people to engage with, especially in our audience. So thank you so much for sharing those, Agnes. And similar to all of the businesses and enterprises or organizations you've mentioned, they'll also be linked in at the end of the article. So anyone listening to our interview or reading through the website article, they'll be able to check that all out. And on that note, we will be finishing up our interview today. And I just want to say, on behalf of the Impact Boom team, thank you so much for just making the time to have this interview and to share the wealth of knowledge and experience that you have in creating a social impact and all of the work you've done with Trevengers or in your personal story or in the past is just invaluable, really, for our listeners. And I'm really thankful that you are willing to share that. So all the best in the future. We can't wait to keep following your work and see where you go.
Thank you. Yeah, enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Impact Boom. You'll find links to the initiatives, people, and resources mentioned in this podcast on impactboom.org. Please leave your comments below, and remember, we'll be publishing fresh inspiration and insights to help you create positive impact every week on the website, Facebook page, and Twitter.